Welcome to the Holistic Health Podcast, beautiful humans. If a professional, polished, well-edited podcast is what you're after, then move right on.
If, however, you love unfiltered banter, unedited bloopers, authentic heart sharing, and a very generous dash of holistic health education, then you're in the right place.
Hello, friends. Welcome back to the Holistic Health Podcast. Exciting episode. First of all, in case anyone missed the number on this episode, it's episode 100, which is just wild. I imagine and I know how we got to speaking about 100 different things because we have a whole tab dedicated to your brain.
We're just warming up, friends. This was just like the stretches before the workout. So look out.
That's right. I actually am really impressed with us that we keep coming up with ideas. I mean, we're very grateful for everyone sending more ideas in. That certainly helps. But today's episode is, I guess, less education-based and a little bit more entertainment-based. We thought we would bring our beautiful husbands on to the podcast and just drill them with some questions. Some of them we are prepared for their answers. Others we're a little bit nervous about what might come out, but we're just going to embrace the theme of this and hope that we're all still married at the end and that we still have a podcast. So pray for us and enjoy. Ames, do you want to just start by introducing James and then we can also make sure everyone knows who's who in terms of voices?
Yeah. All right. So first of all, thank you to the husbands for agreeing to letting us torture you on air.
At short notice.
It's at very short notice. We kind of sprung this on them a little bit. We did talk about it at the beginning of the year and then all of a sudden it's the end of the year and it's like, surprise. Yeah. So listeners, please forgive us if this goes a little rogue. But allow me to introduce my husband, James. James is also working in the health profession as a therapist. He does 100 different kinds of physical metaphysical body work. And would you like to say hello to our friends on the air, darling?
Hello, listeners.
I love it.
Well, thanks for inviting us to the Christmas special.
Oh, anytime. I mean, what would it really be a Christmas special without you both here? I don't think so.
I'm generally in the next room and often working with a client and hearing the hysterical bits of laughter coming out of this
when
you're recording.
James, I have to say that half that hysterical laughter has to do with your wife's poo stories that seem to just never end. So it's she's here for our entertainment, that's for sure.
Always.
Oh, I love it. Well, we could go on about James and all of his magic for a long time, but we have to get to the rest of our questions. So Bo, this is my husband, Bowen, but we call him Bo. I actually didn't know how to say his name when I first met him for like a good year, which is a whole nother story in and of itself. Gosh, how do I even describe what you do? Well, currently he is a firefighter. He is not on any firefighting calendars. We're working on it.
Is there a Christmas special coming our way?
I mean, maybe. Are there any photographers in the audience? So a firefighter with a background in mechanical engineering, digital marketing, loves an adventure race or two, and is also recently into breathwork. So anyone into astrology, he's got some Gemini in his chart, and which means he gets bloody bored easily and jumps to a billion different things. He's a man of many, many talents. So
thanks, darling.
No problem.
And I think, and I also just to butt in for a second, they are both outdoor men who love to surf, golf, hike, waterhole. You name it, they're cut from the same cloth in that regard, aren't they?
He's a hell of a golfer.
And and Bowen's actually quite similar to Amy in a lot of ways. So this the coupledom that goes with Bowen James is not it's not surprising. It's a match made in heaven.
My one big family.
Well, let's get to know the gentleman a little bit more. So we've got some questions here that we prepared earlier, and we don't know what's going to come out here, friends, so brace yourselves, but we will keep them honest also. So, darling, first question we have for you, and I'm going to ask you is, Do you think you make a good patient?
If there was a scale of rating a patient, I would be at the top. I'm very compliant. We do a regular gut repair, Amy's famous gut repair.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very compliant in taking all the little bits and pieces. And often I'm asking you to do the, if we can do the gut repair early.
Look, your enthusiasm knows no bounds. And I'll go so far as to say he's maybe a little over-enthusiastic. You've never met a supplement you didn't love. And if he says to me, like, how many should I take? And I say one, I'll turn around and he's gobbling like two or three. So I've really got to watch him.
You mean.
But yeah, I do concur. You're a great patient.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what about you, Bo? Where do you rate yourself on the scale of being a good patient versus a terrible patient?
Well, I'm looking at the question here and it says, do you make a good patient / do you do what your wife recommends? So very different questions.
Well, you answer whatever you'd like to.
As a patient, I would say I'm very similar to James. I think I'm very compliant. Yeah.
I'd agree. And I don't think you hero dose yourself like James. I think you do follow follow the recommendations, although I tend to hero dose him sometimes. So for people who've been listening to the podcast for a while, you may remember the story I told about making Bowen projectile vomit when I accidentally OD'd him on zinc during COVID. But I've never done that to a paying client, only to my husband. So everyone, you are safe.
Oh my God. Well, all right. Well, I guess that leads us into the next question, which is, you know, if I had to hazard a guess, I would say the bulk of our listeners would be women for lots of reasons. And for many of them, they probably have partners who maybe are not quite so enthusiastic about their passion for natural health. So, darling, have you got any advice or any suggestions on how to support women or encourage women to help make their husbands or male partners make healthier choices?
Well, I think probably you can't force anyone to do anything, and that can generally backfire if you try and force anyone. So you really just got to lead by example, and, you know, surely if they're watching you become healthier and more vital and more energetic, they might, you know, if you guys are a good match, they might want to follow in suit. So lead by example.
Yeah, I love it. Anything to add to that, though?
I think, like, health is sexy as well. Like, well, I'm going to put that out there.
Agreed.
But, I think, yeah, having, like, a partner who, you know, takes the health, you know, as a priority is pretty powerful. So I just know that anytime like we talk about it, I get so much out of just learning about my own health. And I think once you know something, you can't unknow it as well. So it's definitely something to be said just for the education on the sly, maybe just putting on the Holistic Health podcast in the car with your partner. Strategy.
I like it. You can come back.
Sorry, Nat, you go.
Yeah, I was going to say, I concur with both of those answers. I think it really, as James was saying, you really can't make someone do something. And I think connecting it more to their why as well is helpful. Or even sometimes the reality is you're not going to be the person that they listen to, but maybe you find someone else that is more relatable to them, or an example of where they might want to be in their life, or an activity they might want to be doing. And there's so many books, podcasts, people out there, men, women, you know, lots of different examples of health. And, you know, I know that at various times I've probably said some things and it hasn't necessarily landed, but then you've had it come through a podcast or a different avenue. And while you like haven't been dismissive, but it takes a person that you are able to see yourself in to have that land a little bit better.
I love that. And just finishing off on what Bowen said about health being sexy, for all of my single listeners, I think, you know, you can't go wrong really choosing a partner that has their utmost values in alignment with yours. And I can say, you know, hand on heart, having had partners who took their health far less seriously / even trashed it. I would take a hero supplement doser every day of the week.
I think there's an episode on previous dodgy previous partners and their health.
That'd be Amy's solo episode.
yeah, their dodgy
health bingles.
Yeah, their health bingles. That would make a good one. Oh, all right. Well, next we've got a very leading question designed to make us look fantastic. Darling, what would you say is the best thing about being married to a naturopath?
Oh, I've often thanked you for your wisdom and knowledge in the past, because I think just tying in the sexiness in health, it really comes into showing up as the best version of yourself. And I'm grateful for your knowledge and wisdom that's bridged me to be, you know, the best version of myself. I don't think I would be, you know, thriving or as doing as good as I am had I not had met you, darling.
Ah, that's very sweet.
So yeah, I'm very grateful for your knowledge and wisdom, and I as you know, I'm often parroting what you say to my patients as well.
Yes.
So it that continues to ripple.
Beautiful.
Yeah, I love that. What about you?
Oh, similar vein as James. I think, like, sometimes you don't know what you don't know, and then there'll be things that I do and I get this look from you, like a little bit of side eye.
I don't know what you're talking about.
And I'm like, all right, spilled beans, like, what is it that I'm doing here that's not ideal for my health? So it can be challenging at times, but it's also probably the best thing is that you're always looking out for me and for us. And sometimes I just am not aware of things. So you
like this morning when I drank your coffee, so you didn't have any extra. Yes. Right,
took one for the team, Nat. I'm a team player, everyone. It's so generous.
Yeah, I mean, you did have a really big health transformation when we met. Like, all jokes aside, you were not a healthy specimen, and we absolutely turned your health around quite significantly. And your story was quite interesting in that you kind of, in some avenues of your life, you did feel like you were doing many healthy things. Like, we met at a CrossFit-esque type gym. So Bo was exercising, you know, he was eating probably like a pretty standard Australian diet. And that was kind of like it. And yeah, there are a lot of little micro changes we made along the way, and it made a really big difference.
Absolutely. Different person.
Different person. There you go. Just upgraded.
2.0.
I could make some really bad jokes, but I'm not going to. I'm going to restrain myself. All right. Well, that's the rose-colored glasses version of being married to a naturopath. What do you feel like is the worst thing about being, and maybe worse is a bit of a strong word, but what are the challenges of being married to a naturopath? You can start this one, Bo.
Well, I think probably just following from the last question, like, I don't think your brain ever switches off. So sometimes I'm like, I don't know, you want to take it easy, or feel like cruising on some days, and again, like a little bit of side eye, and I'm like, oh gosh, something I've just got to pick myself up on. So that can be challenging at times, depending on the mood that I'm in. But I know you're always looking out for me, darling.
What about my sixth sense?
Yeah, I'll come home, and that just, like, it's like a walk through the door, and she's energetically sensed, oh, somebody had a sneaky little muffin this morning.
When he's like, particularly this used to happen a lot, like at the fire station. So if, you know, most people wouldn't be aware what a fire station is like, but there's like a communal fridge in most of them, and there's definitely a lot of like processed foods in there. And I swear every time Bowen has had a Cornetto or a Magnum or like a chocolate bar or something. I just know when he comes in the door, and I more do it for fun than anything else. It's just,
you're good at it though.
You can't deny your talents, everyone. So that's if that's the worst of it, it's not too bad.
Yeah, it's gonna be hard when we have kids. Like, you'll just be like, oh, you took them to Macca's.
You will not take them to Macca's.
No, we drew that up in the marriage agreement.
Yeah, no, we did. No Macca's. Yeah. All right. What about you, James? What were any challenges being married to a naturopath that you've run into so far?
I'm just going to stroke the ego here and say that there is no wrong side.
I'll be honest. It's definitely.
This is the husband's. Thank you.
Oh, that's funny.
Look, I just feel like I actually thought about this prior to talking today, but our values are so highly pegged on health that I actually can't see any downside. There's only goodness.
Goodness. Well, look, he is the victim of me trying to make healthier versions of other recipes.
I love that though, when you go to town.
Well, when they work out.
Yeah, but
when they're not so great, he'll politely take a bite and then pass. And I think the other thing is a little bit like with you now, my brain doesn't switch off. And when something's got me riled up, I can sometimes just go on a bit of a rant and I just can't help it. Like if I've gotten jacked up about something stupid that's happened in the hospital system or something that a client's been through, and I just, doesn't happen very often, but when I get triggered and just have to vent about it, it's quite a spectacle, isn't it? You just have to ride it.
Well, I think that's more life than being a naturopath. I mean,
sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're different people, but
yeah.
Yeah, it's an added bonus. I married up in the world.
Oh, darling. All right. Well, let's hit you with another tricky one.
Okay.
What is the weirdest thing that I've ever asked you to do for your health?
Ooh.
I don't think I've asked you to do too much weird shit.
No, I mean, I've done more.
We all live in a bit of a bubble, though, where we don't think we're that weird.
Yeah. We do. And also, to be honest, I don't get the opportunity to actually say, hey, I think you should do this. Like, if I'm doing something, he's like, can I do it too? So as soon as I started doing coffee enemas, he's like, get me a nozzle. I'm in.
Yeah, I've done far more weird shit by myself.
Actually, that would be so true. I reckon James has done way weirder stuff than I've ever done. Well, how about we just ask you that? What's the weirdest thing you've ever done for your health? Put you on the spot here.
It's the weirdest thing I've ever done.
Have you put other things up your bum apart?
Podcast is just turning into
degrading.
I've put you on the spot.
Yeah.
Let's just say he's tried a lot of different things, friends. So
tried a lot of supplements.
Yeah. Gadgets.
You've been through a few sort of pyramid marketing ventures.
Yeah, right? Pyramid. I've tried magnets. Magnetic. You know, I think I bought every possible product, strapped it to myself.
You're an experimental learner.
I am an experimental human.
It's a lot more Enneagram.
Yeah. Don't box him in. He'll figure it out himself.
Yeah. Don't pigeonhole me.
That's right. Well, what about you, Bo? Is there anything, I don't even know what I've really told you to do that is weird. Mm. Can you think of anything?
Well, it's like you said, it's really about where the baseline's at.
Yeah, that's true.
Like when I think of our sleep routine and the fact that we've switched out light bulbs in our house to, you know, non-blue light ones. We've got blue light blockers going. We have a full wind-down routine.
Our bed's on an angle, thanks to Mr. Over there.
Yep.
We're wearing night masks, earbuds. I wear a night guard, mouth tape. It's quite elaborate. So
who said health was sexy again?
Yeah. Each to their own, right?
So I think just across everything, there are I wouldn't say rules, but there are things that we follow or probably one of the most interesting journeys has been learning more about the mold stuff. And that's been probably a bit of you too, their aims, not steam mopping under the bed so, you know, you don't get condensation in the bottom of the mattress, you know, putting the pillows up on an angle. All these like little things that I just, as I said before, would never have thought of. So not weird, but maybe compared to other people's version of normal.
Just different. I can imagine you might stand out like a sore thumb if you started telling the people at the fire station what you do to wind down at night.
Yeah, there's a bit of a gap.
What is in the wind down routine? Tell me.
Oh, at the fire station or
ours? Well, it's very much just like a turning all the lights to the non-blue light, so either the red light or just the yellow amber ones. Right. And then, I mean, it changes a little bit from, like, we go through different phases. Like at the moment, you know, we usually just put our blue light block or have dinner, put our blue light blockers on, turn the lights situation down. Sometimes we go through phases of like listening to meditation music. Sometimes we go through phases of watching Netflix, like a series that we're both enjoying. Like we're watching Alone at the moment, which is like a survivalist Netflix series. Sometimes we play Uno if we want a card game.
It's a bit competitive.
It does. It got really competitive last night. It really just changes, but there's always like a consciousness around the environment. There's always like an intention of switching from work mode to rest mode. There's usually some kind of check-in around, you know, how is your day? How are you? A bit of connection before we, I guess, disconnect and maybe engage in something that's not necessarily just talking to each other, but it really just ebbs and flows, and also depends, you know, how much time we've spent together during the day already.
Yeah. Well, what's the weirdest thing you've ever seen me do for my health?
Oh my God, I reckon the listeners could answer some of these questions a bit better.
Probably could. We have shared a lot.
Weirdest thing. Well,
would you say that
stick a nozzle up your bum quite a bit?
Yeah.
But then again, once you've done it once or twice, it's really not that weird. It's actually, it feels quite good.
Yeah. Yeah. That glutathione rush.
The glutathione rush, not the hosel. Not the
nozzle piece.
Oh, it's so funny. I just love that the poo theme just keeps on coming up, Amy.
Can't escape it.
Well, if that's the weirdest thing you've done, I guess it's not too weird, is it?
No, but as you said,
I'm the one that pushes the limit more than.
Yeah, I think so. I'm probably a bit more conservative than you, actually. So you're the one out on the fringes trying random things, and I'll either say no, thank you, or maybe.
Yeah, totally. What about you? Have you seen me do anything weird?
Well, again, like my perception now is so different, but no, I don't think anything. Like any one particular thing is extreme. But I think what people like might be surprised about is just how much you practice what you preach. And like even when we're traveling, like you've got everything sort of sorted in terms of like supplements and with, I guess, a lot of the other strategies you prescribe to clients, like you go and try things first. So I think it's like it's cool to see. It's quite inspiring, actually.
I do love being a bit of a dummy for things.
Guinea pig.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some things go to plan, some things not so much. But, yes, I do enjoy that. Mm. Well, that wasn't as bad as I was expecting around those things. I'm glad that you don't actually think I'm that weird. I feel
you need to fess up. Like, what's the weirdest thing you
I just think I'm a quirky human. Like, I make a lot of sounds. I talk to myself a fair bit. I like to dance. I do a lot of screaming underwater at the beach when no one's listening. There's a lot that I do, but I don't even consider it to be weird. I just consider it to be connected to my emotional state, and I just happen to have a lot of feelings. Really, I don't know that I consider myself to be any weirder than the next person, maybe just less good at hiding it. Well, okay, let's shift gears a little bit, and I'd love you to share, maybe Bo, you can start with this one, is as many people know, us females are cyclical beings, and you are not, And sometimes we go through a monthly cycle. Well, often most of us listening go through a monthly cycle. And, you know, for some male partners that can present some challenges. Mm. And what I want to know is, do you have any tips or, I guess, insights in how a male partner or a partner of someone who is going through a cycle, a hormonal cycle, could support their, you know, their partner through that, or themselves if they don't want to get divorced?
Like, I mean, it's going to look different for everyone, but I think at the heart of it, like, even knowing what that looks like for ladies out there and what their hormonal cycle looks like, and maybe you guys can add this like into the resources or show notes, but when you
look at this guy just dropping resources into the show notes. All right.
Like when you see a graph of, you know, like the various hormones at play and just how much they fluctuate on a monthly basis, depending on where you're at in your cycle, it, like visually, it's so strong to see that and be like, yeah, right. That's a roller coaster. How do you manage that? And I think knowing that gives me a whole new appreciation and respect for women and what you go through. So, yeah, I think that's probably a big part of it. And then the other one that comes to mind, there's this video on YouTube called The Nail in the Head. And it is a great video to watch. And I won't sort of spoil it, so I'm just going to, again, maybe you can add that to the show notes.
Of course, darling. Please add whatever work to our podcast show notes.
Yeah. Yep. But I think it's just about being able to recognize that it's not about something that you've done as a guy. Like often we can maybe internalize things and not be super conscious to the fact that, you know, it's hormonal related, and just creating a little bit more separation between, like, I don't know, maybe an argument or a sharp word and then your own emotional response, and just trying to create a little bit more space for conversation and understanding.
Yeah, I love that. I do feel like something you do really well is make an effort, or have made a very big effort, to understand what hormones do what at different points in the cycle, or how I might be feeling around ovulation or during my period or in the lead up, and then altering your support, or, like, you know, just how you show up for me in a different way, because I am someone who does feel the hormonal shifts, and you know, not to the extent that I have in the past, but I still certainly feel, you know, more emotionally sensitive or in need of more TLC in the lead up to my period, or just less tolerant from, like, a how much I can do perspective. And so I feel like in that kind of week or so, you make more of an effort to, like, take things off my plate where you can, versus, you know, when you know I'm around ovulation and I've got, like, heaps of energy and I'm feeling really motivated and I'm just like, go, 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 rather than trying to keep me in check or go, do you need to be doing that much? You kind of just let me ride the wave of that as well. And I do think that it is helpful for both of us, like, because then I feel like you're aware of where I'm at, so I'm not just feeling like alone in the cycle, and then you feel a little bit more understanding, like you're saying, of not taking, you know, maybe me being more sensitive or needing more support, or sometimes for me needing more space, to be honest, like space for myself. It's not so much of a personal attack rather than just, you know, a need based on where I'm at.
Beautiful.
Amazing. Anything to add, James?
Yeah,
I know. Well, Amy's pretty stable.
I'm married a unicorn. She has zero fluctuation. She needs to be trapped and studied. But yeah, look, you know, I think probably a bit of communication is always good for people to, in a relationship, to discuss what's going on for them during those fluctuations. Might be handy on both sides of the fence, and outlaying how they can help each other navigate that might be good. And listen up to what Amy's got to say about hormonal balance, because she's doing well.
Thanks, darling. Well, you know, I guess that everything, Bowen, that you just shared applies out even outside of the hormonal fluctuations for relationship harmony. And although I'm, you know, fortunate to have got my hormones humming along beautifully at this point in time, all of those will apply when one day the wheels start to fall off when menopause rolls in. And I think, you know, I've been through my own health challenges outside of that with mold illness and, you know, other things. And I, you know, everything, Bowen, you just shared, you know, James has certainly stepped up when I've said I really need this or I really need less of that. And I think it's just more about that understanding. And I think, yeah, not taking it personally and then being able to take care of your own needs enough that you can actually hold someone else's without it actually meaning anything about you. And, you know, when you've got both of those sides of the coin covered, I think you can pretty much tackle anything.
I love it. Well, let's round out with the last question on the list, which is, what's one thing you do for your health that is a non-negotiable?
Movement every day.
Yeah, you're not a great human if you haven't moved.
No, I get
me very, neither.
Very crabby. So it doesn't matter if it's like something light, but I just notice such a shift in my brain chemistry and physiology and sleep quality, my appetite, like everything for me just is tied back to moving in a day. So
yeah, love it.
Non-negotiable.
What about you, James?
Just prioritize things you love doing.
I love that's such a you answer, and I love it.
You know, and you know, movement, as you know, but everyone knows I've been into pickleball lately, but I just love that.
We use that term loosely. Pickleball. I know. This is actually an intervention.
Yeah, but, you know, it does boil down to movement, but it also boils down to, you know, things that you love doing. And I think that's a good thing. And probably then boils down to, you know, listening to yourself about the things that you do love.
Sage advice, Mr. K.
I have one last thing to throw out there, and it's okay if you don't have an answer, but are there any books that you have read recently or in the past that you really like that have inspired you to either be, you know, a better human, a better partner, or inspired you in some way as it relates to your health, whether it's physical or mental, I guess, along the lines of, you know, personal development type books or just something that you can think of there. And you read a lot, so.
I do. James, you want to?
Or can I maybe just drop like top three books?
Yeah, go for it.
Well, one was actually a book that Bo lent me called Breathe by James Nestor. It's a must read to understand the pros and cons of breathing either through the mouth or through the nose. And you could sum the book up by saying that you, if you start breathing through your mouth, you lose 40% of blood flow to your brain. So you're operating on many less cylinders. So read Breathe by James Nestor. I recently read The Happiest Man Alive.
Oh, great book. Yes.
Deeply moving, and I felt like it's the universe really wanted that book to be written and to be out there. There's just beautiful bits of gold in the author's journey through hardship through World War II and recently I just read a lovely book on Indigenous solutions for modern day problems called
Sandbox, I think.
Sand Talk.
Sand Talk, love it. Yeah.
It's in sort of the top sort of 10 books on the shelf if you go into a bookshop at the moment.
Beautiful. I've read two of those three, but I definitely am keen to read that third one. What about you, Bo?
Well, there's a couple that come to mind. I mean, James actually took took that one off my plate.
Breath.
With that one, as well, that as well as the happiest man on earth. That was incredible, right?
Yeah.
There's a lot of book sharing that goes on between the Corbis Skilton household
and
the Douglas household. what else? No More Mr. Nice Guy by Dr. Richard Glover. It's one that I've sort of gone back to for a second listen just recently on Audible. Just a really powerful sort of deep dive into the male psyche and sort of how a lot of things show up in adult life that, you know, guys probably need to take a second look at. I just personally found that really empowering and got a lot from that. And then I've been really into Peter Fitzsimons of late. Fitzsimons, Australian author, does an amazing job. Bringing sort of historical events and accounts to life through just a huge amount of research and just his particular writing style. But I've just been loving reading stories of, I guess, earlier explorers, Arctic explorers, Australians, Burke and Wills, all these incredible kind of pieces of Australian history. And myself am an adventurer, love exploring, so when I read those I just get so much inspiration, I think, to get outside and to take a new path, turn left rather than right. It just drives me.
And Finding Ultra by Rich Roll, which you've been listening
to? Like, I'm partway through that, but just resonating a lot with Rich's story and just an incredible guy who sort of turned his life around quite late after some pretty major events. And it's probably a story for another time, but I've certainly, had some highs and lows through life and can resonate with a lot of, his work and the way that he's been able to redefine himself.
I love it.
Oh, that's so
right, I believe you have one last question, Amy.
We've got one last one to finish up on, and I'm going to just ask it to give you both a moment to think about the answer, but what's something about me, question for you, darling, or Nat, for you, Bowen, that you don't think the audience would know about us and that you'd like to share that won't end in divorce?
You have an answer there?
There was some side eye happening between Bowen and Nat there.
I don't know. You guys share pretty candidly on the podcast. I don't think there's too many stones that have gone unturned.
Probably.
I think Nat's just has such a love and passion for helping people that shows up, every day in her clinic. And I guess I see what happens behind the scenes as, having gone through the journey as her boyfriend and fiance and now husband and, in the 10 plus years I've seen you sort of in practice, I just know how many amazing private conversations you have with your clients and how many secrets you also keep, on behalf
Chamber of
your clients.
Chamber of secrets, yes.
you get to see a part of people's lives that is very raw and vulnerable, and I think you do an amazing job of holding space for people and for listening and letting people know that whatever they're going through is okay and that you're there to support them. And often there are things that, people might not share with their husband or their wife. You'll hear about all kinds of things. So I think the fact that you practice what you preach every single day is probably something that people may not give as much credit to as what you deserve.
Oh, thanks. Do you want to also clear up that a lot of people don't think that I ever get angry or grumpy? Do you want to just clear that up for everyone?
Yeah. Cue back to the conversation we're having around the emotional body release. And there's a lot of screaming that goes on in the car in between trips. Not when I'm in there, but there into pillows, underwater. You do a very good job of letting out your emotions, but you've got a very big heart for a tiny human.
Oh, I love it. Thanks, Mike. I appreciate that. Every part of my Leo-ness is just beaming.
What do you think the audience might not know about me, darling?
The audience might not know that, you're genetically wired to be a naturopath. Sure. And when your sister was young, you were giving her little herbs out of the garden to make her feel better. And when you discovered that there was a course that sort of taught you all about naturopathy, you just knew right then and there that you were in your heart a naturopath. And I could probably drop a couple of little bombs, but I'll keep going.
We might wrap it up there.
Ice Angel. Ice Angel.
We've told everyone about Ice Angel.
Cool.
People do know about my past.
They know about the ice. Yeah, right.
Episode. Yeah. We're all friends here.
Desert Storm.
And we've run out of time, folks. Sorry about that.
And that's all right, everybody. Look, Amy has shared a lot on this podcast. I'm going to say some stories that I don't think James has even heard. So you'll have to go back through all the episodes to find the golden nuggets there that you haven't yet heard. But
actually, there's a literal nugget in there that he hasn't heard.
Yeah, there is.
Many stories.
I don't remember what episode it is. Otherwise, I'd refer people back to it. But
Monday, to put an asterisk next.
You'll just have to.
I reckon I could outgun you. I've got it. Is this a competition?
Well, thank you so much for joining us on the Holistic Health Podcast episode 100. Amazing. Maybe we'll have to have you back every 100th episode that we make, and hopefully between episodes you can find some more dirt on us to spill to the listeners, maybe some behind-the-scenes footage, see what we can come up with. But we really appreciate you celebrating this episode and this milestone with us and being great partners in life. There's a lot of behind-the-scenes support that goes into being a husband of naturopaths or business owners that I think deserves lots of credit, and I know that we're both incredibly grateful for your support. And, Amy, any last things to add before we wrap up?
Oh, I want to thank all of our beautiful listeners as well for tuning in every week and giving us a reason to show up and, you know, somewhere to put all of my overflow ideas into, because God help my friends and family if I didn't have this. And we're wishing you all the love and peace and joy at this time of year, whether you celebrate Christmas or not. Our hearts are with you, and we look forward to being in your ear holes in the new year.
See you then, guys.
Bye.
You've been listening to the Holistic Health Podcast with Amy and Nat.
If you loved this episode, then make sure you share it on Instagram and give us a tag.
If you'd like to help us spread the holistic health message far and wide, then we would also so appreciate it if you left a rating and review. This helps us more than you know.
And don't forget to come and say hi over on Instagram. See you next week.